This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. What can colleges and universities do to help low-income and minority students get a college education? With tuition prices rising each year and with students taking on more and more debt, how can educators increase access to everyone? Those were some of the big questions posed last week by President Obama at a White House summit attended by more than 80 college presidents, including several from Massachusetts.
The fact is we hadn't made a commitment as a country to send more of our people to college, Michelle, me, maybe a few of you would not be here today.
At the summit, the college presidents unveiled more than 100 different commitments and ideas aimed at helping low-income students attend and complete college. We're going to talk about some of those ideas and strategies with two Massachusetts college presidents who were at the White House last week. Joining me here in the studio is Pam Ettinger. She's the president of Bunker Hill Community College here in Boston. And welcome to the program, President Ettinger. Great to have you.
It's good to be here.
Also with us by phone from Amherst, Massachusetts, is Biddy Martin. She's the president of Amherst College. And President Martin, welcome to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
And listeners, you can join us as well. What's your idea about how to make college more affordable, more accessible to more people? How would you fix the system, the accessibility system, to improve it? What questions do you have about college affordability and access? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We've got two guests here who've really done a lot of thinking about this, and we're really happy to have them here. Let me ask you both, and I'll start with you, Pam Ettinger. You know, we'll talk about specific proposals, and yours in particular, Bunker Hill, offered last week. But I just want to ask you, how important was it as a college president to have these issues front and center at the White House last week?
Well, for those of us who are working in the field and basically working out in the grassroots, it's important for a national spotlight to be shown on it so that folks are aware of the options in terms of financial and preparation for students to get into college. It was very inspirational for me.
Mm. Same question to you, Biddy Martin.
I agree entirely. It was a positive experience. It was wonderful to be among college and university presidents with a strong commitment to enrolling and helping more low-income, high-achieving students.
Mm. One other general question before we get to the specifics. As you both know, colleges have been under pressure to justify exploding costs and what some would say are uneven results. The president has been among the critics, and last year he launched an online college scoreboard, which seeks to hold schools accountable for cost and quality. I'm curious if you both think that's a good idea or not. Is this kind of a scorecard a good idea? And I'll start with you, Pam Ettinger.
Well, higher ed has been measuring itself for a number of years. This is not a new idea. We do it for accreditation. We do it to make sure we know what our students are learning. It's not so much that it's a good or a bad idea, but something that the public needs to know.
Mm-hmm.
And the trick is to make sure that when we're measuring the results, that we're putting the right context around it. The data is telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to tell the right story, you got to ask the right questions. I believe right now there is a sort of an open input period from folks in the field. And we're hoping that that will put a context to it and not just any measure. And we're all very diverse, our institutions.
Sure. So you're worried that one set of figures might not tell the whole story for all of the various institutions.
Well, it is not useful, I believe, to measure an urban college against a suburban one. Both kinds I've worked at. Our populations and the folks we serve, our students we serve, are very different, and their backgrounds are very different. So rather than comparing apples to oranges, we really ought to tell the story correctly and know what we are, the environment that our students are in before we measure their achievements.
Sure. And same question to you, Biddy Martin, because I know, you know, there has been pushback to this sort of scorecard from colleges and universities. What's your view on this?
Well, once again, I find myself agreeing with Pam. I would say one size doesn't fit all. It's important. Accountability is critical. And I think some of the elements of the scorecard that was proposed are important. That is, certain measures are critical. And as Pam says, the public deserves to know how well colleges and universities are doing, how successful our students are, and how many, for example, are graduating. The problem is really the effort to measure everyone with the same ruler. It won't work. I think we speak in terms of a higher ed system in the United States, but it's not really a system. And the strength of higher education in the United States, I think, comparing it to Europe, for example, is that it is so diverse and that the different kinds of institutions have different missions, and they offer enormous flexibility for students with a range of different goals.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, and we're going to get to this, but one of the reasons I was so interested in having both of you here is you are both presidents in sort of very different moments in this very diverse system. So I'm glad you brought that up, Biddy Martin. I'd love to talk a little bit about some of the specific ideas that you and your colleagues brought to the summit, and I'll start with you, President Ettinger. President Obama made reference to an effort being made at Bunker Hill Community College to help low-income students when they actually get to school. So let's listen to him for a second.
They often learn that even if they were at the top of their high school class, they still have a lot of catching up to do with respect to some of their peers in the classroom. Bunker Hill Community College is addressing this by giving more incoming students the chance to start catching up over the summer before their freshman year.
So there's President Obama speaking at the White House summit last week. Pam Ettinger, tell us more about this summer program, how it works at Bunker Hill, and how it aims to open up access and opportunity.
The program assumes that a student does not overnight become a college student just because they graduated from high school. Human beings don't grow that way. So what it does is that it reaches back into the high school and partner with the high schools to ensure that students are done with their development education courses, math, English, and so on, but also provides a portion of college readiness to make sure that the students know how to be a college student in terms of time management and expectations and so on. What it does, especially for a community college, is that it plants one of the key legs in a three-legged stool. Make sure that the student has financial support, that the student has academic preparation, but also the social network and the and sometimes some of the pieces that they're missing in their lives in terms of advice for college. This provides that to sort of do a wraparound service for the students before they get into college. One thing about access: unless the students finish and they leave the college, access really means nothing. So that's what we're trying to do, is to get the student into the college mindset as early as they can.
So this piece is really about trying to up the percentage when it comes to completing college, right?
If a student has 15 units or credits before their first semester of college is over, they're twice as likely to complete. So the more college credit we give them before they enter college, or make sure they start on the college level when they come in, the better off they are. It's all in how early we start.
So President Biddy Martin, tell us about the commitments that Amherst put forward at the White House summit last week.
I'd be glad to. I think we followed the model that the president suggested and made some commitments in the four areas that were outlined for the summit, and that included increasing access for low-income students, ensuring that they succeed once they arrive, improving the STEM outcomes, that is the number of low-income, high-achieving students who major in science and math, and then also working on what we call the experience gap at Amherst, which is to say what percentage of low-income students actually take advantage of some of the most high-impact educational experiences we offer compared to the student body as a whole, and can we even that out? So we made commitments in all areas. Amherst has for some years been a model for its peers, for small liberal arts colleges and highly selective institutions of socioeconomic diversity, and has increased access really dramatically. I came here with that having already been done, so I take no credit for it, but I'm proud to be at an institution that made a commitment to doing it. So we now have 24% of our entering class who are Pell Grant recipients, which for schools of our type is excellent, and we need to focus on ensuring that those students have equal access to all parts of the curriculum and that they're equally successful. Their graduation rates are equal to the student body as a whole. But we don't have the same percentage of low-income students majoring in sciences, for example, as we have in the student body as a whole, and we're making a commitment to do the pedagogical innovations that are required to ensure everyone has the same access to all parts of the curriculum.
Hmm. It seems like diversity, socioeconomic diversity, is an idea that everybody thinks is a good idea, and yet the cost... I want to talk a little about cost, because this sort of seems to get at the heart of the access problem. The cost of college education keeps going up. Tuition and fees have risen twice the rate of inflation over the last couple of decades, faster than household income. So that seems to be an obvious impediment to opportunity and opening access to low-income students. So what has to happen to control costs? And Biddy Martin, I'll stick with you.
It's a very important topic and set of questions, and the answers are complicated. Amherst is lucky enough to be in a position where it can offer financial aid to its students on a need-blind basis. It admits students on a need-blind basis. Over 60% of our students receive a financial aid, mm-hmm. and we don't package loans, so that means grant aid. It's important for the federal government, the states, and institutions themselves to allocate resources in a way that puts a priority on ensuring access for low-income students and their families. And some institutions are fortunate by virtue of history to have endowments and other forms of resources that enable us to provide that kind of financial aid, but there's a limit, of course, for everyone. So it's a matter of priorities. And then we have to do more to contain costs at the institutional level while also ensuring that the federal government and states realize that we've reached a point in the country where more investments are going to have to be made in education, or we're not going to get where we need to go.
Hmm. And Pam Ettinger, I mean, I'd like you to sort of chime in any way you want on this conversation, but it seems like as the price of college education continues to rise, it's sort of accelerating this transformation of the role of community colleges, right? Because once upon a time, community colleges were considered sort of skill schools, but now they're absorbing more and more skilled students looking for a new way to afford a college education, right?
Right. Let me take up the issue of the colleges being a skill school per se.
Yeah.
Our economy has gotten to the point that any kind of skill is sophisticated and it changes overnight. So our students are not just skill students. They now need to learn to think critically. So we're a more comprehensive college, or necessarily because of what society demands. In terms of... costs going up, students increasingly turn to us as an alternative the first 2 years before they go to the third and fourth year at the upper level because we're more affordable. Nonetheless, our students run against their Pell Grants not being able to cover all 15 units of a full-time attendance. So we've been lucky this last year in that that we have very good state support. The state is now turning their eyes to public education as a resource. So we've had an increase, and I hope that over the next couple of years, we will continue to rebuild our higher ed budget. One of the things that will impact our students a great deal is Pell reform. If we can get Pell Grants to cover 15 credits, that means our students can be full-time, and they can finish earlier and therefore create capacity so that they're not languishing because they can't go full-time. That's large for us. Community colleges is the best deal out there right now.
We're talking to Pam Ettinger. She's the president of Bunker Hill Community College, as well as Biddy Martin. She's the president of Amherst College. They were both at the White House Summit last week, and we're asking you to join the conversation about college affordability and accessibility. What do you see out there? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. Presidents Martin and Ettinger, we've got some callers to go to, so I'd like to bring them into the conversation. Jerry is calling from Hopkinton. Hi, Jerry. You're on the air.
Hi. I think students being able to commit to college is always a challenge. My situation was I'm solidly middle class, $70,000 to $150,000 a year, and I was unemployed for 3 years. And that was the best thing that ever happened because my two children who were in college at the time we got great support for sending them to college. My problem is now that I'm back to work and trying to come up with the money for education. So I think there's a lot of support for lower income folks and the upper income folks, but once again, without being stereotypical here, it seems like the middle class is carrying the burden of all this stuff.
Well, Jerry, it's a good issue, and our time is running short, so I want to put this before Pam Attinger and Biddy Martin. Pam, what do you say to Jerry's concern? Support there for low-income people, but not perhaps for the middle class?
Actually, if you look at how much it costs to go full-time in a semester at Bunker Hill and any one of our community colleges, it's about $2,000. That a large portion of that could be covered by Pell, and a portion of that could be covered by work study. So I would suggest if you have a child going through college now, come to the community college for 2 years. Let us prepare that student for transfer into an upper level. That's one path of going about it. And the other, you know, I'm sure President Martin has an answer to that, is to find a college that would have good packages for you. There are competitive packages out there from a lot of different good colleges.
Sure. Well, Biddy Martin, why don't you chime in there?
Well, one of the things I wanted to say is that I think the model of community college and then transfer to other colleges and universities is a crucial model for affordability and a good one. 85% of Amherst transfer students come from community colleges, and they do as well as any other students at Amherst in graduation and other forms of success. I think it's an increasingly well-used model, and it's a great one. And I think greater cooperation and easier transitions for students between community colleges and four-year and other institutions is crucial. But to the caller's point, there's certainly an argument to be made that certain portions of what we call the middle class are being squeezed in a sense, and that financial aid policy needs to take that into account and see exactly which sectors are having the hardest time and what, if anything, can be done about it. It's certainly a problem.
Let me ask you just both one final question. I'm going to ask you to be brief because our time is running down. I'm sorry that we have as little time as we do have. But final word, was the summit anything more than symbolic? Pam Attinger, how did you leave Washington thinking about this?
It reinforced the fact for me that if you're an educator, you must be an optimist. And I think the summit gave me that spark after a very long while that there is someone paying attention. The nation is paying attention. Don't waste the opportunity.
Biddy Martin, final word to you.
I think it's more than symbolic. I think it's critical. I think it reinforced the perception and the acknowledgement that we who are in higher ed are here because we believe in the importance of opportunity and we're committed to it. I think if you add up all the commitments that were made by 120-odd institutions, if everyone keeps their commitments, it will make a difference.
All right. Biddy Martin, she's the president of Amherst College, and Pam Attinger, president of Bunker Hill Community College. Thank you both so much. Listeners, stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks.
Thank you.
This is Radio Boston.